We begin the current daf says the Siyuma daf mem test. We begin 12 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the theme of the previous two dafim, and that is Rav Papa asked a series of questions related to the sugyas of specifically what our parak was talking about, that of chafina, of the handfuls of the keteris that the Kohen Gadol scoops up in his hands when he's taking the keteris inside the lefnai v'lefnim, inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest of holiest, one day a year on Yom Kippurim. And related to that is the sister sugya to that is that of the kmitza, of the fistful that the Kohen who does the avoid of the mincha, of the flour offering that he scoops up and sacrifices that on the Mizbeach, and the rest is what's called the shirayim, and that's eaten. So the Gemara continues and moves on to the next question of Rav Papa asked the following question, which was in the mnemonic, was the last one, was chafin chavere, the chafinas chavere. If another kohen, if someone else goes and scoops up the keteris, and then that person scoops up and scoops it into the handfuls of the kohen gadol, what's the halacha going to be? And the Gemara explains the question. The Torah just tells us that he has to have his handfuls, is the fullness of his handful, he has to bring into the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and burn that on the Gachalim, on the coast. And he's doing that, because although he didn't scoop it up himself, but he's coming with Malay Chafnaf, because someone else scooped it up into his hands. Or maybe the Pasuk adds a word, V'lokach V'hevi B'inon. We need that the Torah tells us that he should take and bring, and that we don't have, because the lokach, the taking, also goes on the term of malay chafnav. So not only do you have to be heavy malay chafnav, not only have to bring that and that he's bringing, but he's not having the lokach of malay chafnav. He didn't take his handfuls, because someone else took it and put it into his handfuls. Maybe there, we're going to say that it will not be valid for the halacha of the lokach malay chafnav. I think let's just take a little stand. It's not clear if the Velokach actually is defining Malay Chafnav, that he has to take the Malay Chafnav, and therefore it would be invalid if someone else gives it to him, or as long as he's bringing Malay Chafnav, it's going to be okay, even if someone else fills him up. Now, related to this, the Gemara says, Bari B'shu ben Levi, Chafan Umeis. Let's say the Kohen Gadol does, he scoops up his handfuls of Keteris, and then he passes away. What's the halacha? Can the new Kohen Gadol, who's taking the place of that Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah Mikippurim, can he go ahead and bring inside the Kodesh HaKodeshim that fist, that handfuls that the first Kohen Gadol had already taken and then placed into the ladle? And therefore the halacha would be that the second Kohen Gadol, who's taking over now, would not have to go ahead and re-scoop his handfuls and put into the ladle. Rather, can he just take over that ladle and bring that ladle inside the Kodesh HaKodeshim and burn that chafina, the handful of the first Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh HaKodeshim? So that was the question posed by Rabbi Shimon Levi. So before the Gemara gets to the answer, the Gemara goes through a related conversation. Rabbi Chanina said to his students, he says, "Boy re'ei shelis Rishayim, look at the questions of the earlier generations." And what he meant to say was, look and see that even the later generations like us are smart to ask questions like the early generations. In other words, I had the same question, and now I see that Rabbi Shimon Levi, who was from the early generation, asked the same question as me, and was very proud to see that he asked the same question like the earlier generations. That was Rabbi Chanina's comment when he heard this question of Rabbi Shimon Levi. But the Gemara asks on this comment, "Lemember, Rabbi Shimon Levi kashish? Is this to say Rabbi Shimon Levi was older than Rabbi Chanina, and therefore Rabbi Chanina was all proud that he had the same question as the earlier generation? But Va'amr Rabbi Shimon Levi said, Li hitter Rabbi Chanina permitted me, Lishta Shachalayim b'Shabbos, to drink kress on Shabbos." Now, that sounds like that Rabbi Shimon Levi was the younger one, and he asked Rabbi Chanina was the Gadol Hadar. He was the older one, and he permitted him, which is the opposite of what we're saying now. Now, before the Gemara concludes that question, the Gemara first interrupts that statement that Rabbi Shimon Levi said, that Lishtois Pshita, what do you mean? He needed Rabbi Chanina to permit him to drink kress on Shabbos? That's obvious. It's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. Kala Eichlin, Eichel Adam L'Refuah. If it's a regular food that's eaten and consumed by regular people, one is allowed to eat it even if it's for healing. And so we have Chala Mashkin Shaisa, so too a beverage that's a generally normal beverage that's drunk by people, a person could even drink it even for refuah purposes. So for example, a warm glass of tea, where generally people drink it, even if someone's drinking because he has a sore throat and he wants to soothe that and heal that, if it's a regular drink or regular food, one is allowed to eat or drink it on Shabbos. And therefore, kress, since that was something that people would drink, why did he need Rabbi Chanina to permit it to him as if he has this big shayla? What do you mean? It's obvious. If it's a regular food or beverage, one is allowed to consume it on Shabbos. So the Gemara first answers that component, that elishchik velishtois shachalai b'shabbos. He didn't just permit him to drink the kress, he even permitted him to grind the kress, and that was based on that was necessary, that might have been usur, and that is what he permitted him to do on Shabbos. So that explains that statement. But either way, the Gemara first asks another question. Still hechidami. Even so we understand that his question wasn't just to drink it. So that's not that Mishnah Masech the Shabbos. But still, what was he asking him? And what was his health, his state of health, what he was in when he was asking this question, that he's allowed to grind and so to drink the kress? Idika sakanta, if there was a danger to his life, so Mishnah Shari, that's for sure permitted. Nothing, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for sakanta nefash. And therefore, what was his question? And what was the chiddush Reb Chanina permitted to him? And v'idaleka sakanta, if there was no danger to life, then Meser Asr, actually, it's forbidden to grind the kress on Shabbos. So what's the chiddush? So the Gemara says, lo'ilam dika sakanta, truthfully, there was danger to life. And that's why he was allowed to grind and then to drink the kress on Shabbos. So what's the question? If of course it's a kinds of fashion, of course you're allowed to do that. Everyone knows the halacha. V'hachi kame boilim. This what it was Rabbi Shuman Levi's question to Reb Chanina. Mi masya. His question was, does this heal denechel alay Shabbat, that I should desecrate Shabbos for the purpose of grinding, which is chil Shabbos, to then go ahead and drink this kress? Oiloy masya. His question was, or maybe to Reb Chanina was asking, maybe it doesn't even heal, and therefore v'leinechel alay Shabbat, I shouldn't desecrate Shabbos. In other words, yes. For sakana nefesh, it's allowed to be mechal Shabbos, but it has to be something that will stop the sakana to the nefesh, it will heal. But if it doesn't heal, there's no purpose of being mechal Shabbos. Now, so that was his question to Reb Chanina. And that's a question that's legitimate, because even though it's sakana nefesh, and we know that, but the question was, is it going to be healing? Now, the Gemara, before it goes back to with the previous point that it was asking, it still asks, umayshin Reb Chanina. So why was this asked to Reb Chanina? Even if, let's say, we say Reb Chanina is a Gal Adab, but why are we asking him specifically this matter that has to do with what a doctor would be asked? So I think my answer is, Mishum Debaki Berifuasu, actually Reb Chanina was not only a big Talmud Chacham, but he was very proficient in the area of medicine. Dan Reb Chanina, as we find Reb Chanina elsewhere, saying a matter pertaining to health, no one had ever asked me. We see people ask him these type of medicinal questions. No one ever asked me, Almakas pray de Lavana Bakhoya. No one ever asked me regarding a wound they got from a white mule and that he survived. So we see that regarding things of health and life, people would ask him these questions, and he said that such a comment that no one ever asked me regarding what they should do and even survive, people automatically died. But that's the reason why Reb Chanina was the one that was asked, because he was very proficient in the area of medicine. And that was the question that Reb Shua ben Levi had, which is, although we know Yilad ben Mechal Shabbos was a Kanas Nefash, his question is this going to be healing or not? Now, so the Gemara first asks on that, but V'hoka Chazina on the Chai, on this last statement that he said that no one ever asked me regarding a wound they got from a white mule, and that and to know what to do with it, because anyways they died shortly thereafter, the Gemara asks, but we see that people do survive, even when they're kicked, they got a wound from a white mule. So the Gemara says, Ema, what Reb Chanina had said was v'choyes. Not that the person didn't live, but that the wound didn't heal. But the Gemara asks on that also, v'okachazina demitze, but we do see that even a wound of a white mule that gets inflicted on the human being, we see that it does get healed. So the Gemara answers, b'sumkan inhu, what Reb Chanina was talking about, that it never heals the wound from a white donkey, was talking about that the mule is red. V'chivran resh karahayu kamrinam. However, what we were talking about was that the tips of its toes are white. That type of a mule, if it kicks a person, that will never heal. And that was the statement that it was saying. But either way, the Gemara concludes the original question that it introduced this whole discussion for. Mikam Makim, how could Reb Chanina have said that, wow, look at this question Reb Shimon Levi asked, that I, me, the later generation, is asking the same question as the early generation of Reb Shimon Levi. But Mikam Makim Shemami Nod, Reb Chanina Kashash. Either way we hear from this is that Reb Chanina was the elder, because we can understand Reb Shimon Levi was not older from the fact that Reb Shimon Levi called Reb Chanina Reb Chanina, with the title of Rebbe, that honorific, because he said that to me, Reb Chanina permitted me to go ahead and grind and drink the kress on Shabbos. Now, it wasn't the normal derech for the elders to say regarding the younger Talmidim the term of Rebbe. He would have just said, Li Hitter Chanina. He would have just said, Chanina permitted me. In other words, Chanina was saying that this is something that's healing. He wouldn't be asking me someone younger for the halacha necessarily, but he would say that he told me that this will be healing because he's very well versed in medicine. And So that's what he would have said, Lihitra Chanina, not Lihitra Reb Chanina. From that we could understand and infer that Reb Chanina was the elder and not Reb Shmuel Levi. So how do we understand this statement, this comment that Reb Chanina said, that wow, look, we have the same question as Reb Shmuel Levi? So the Gemara revises the understanding of that comment that he made. Elihachi comment. This is what Reb Chanina told to his students. Come and see, Sheilasan, the question of the later generation, that of Reshu ben Levi, is Kesheila Shel Rishayim. It's like the question of the early generations. In other words, this question that I had asked once before, that I'm from the early generations, you see that even the later generations, they're able to think and ask the same question. Like the early generations, he was amazed that, look, the next generation still has Talmid HaChachamim like the earlier generations. And that's what it was. You're right, Reb Chanina was the elder. He was commenting that, look, the later generations, like Reshu ben Levi, could still ask the same type of questions. But the Gemara asks on that interpretation. Can it even be that Reb Chanina said this? That, in other words, that he had the same question that Reb Shmuel Levi had. If someone else, if the next Kohen Gadol could take the place and the same handfuls of Keteris that the first one had already scooped up, that the second one could take? But that's not possible. Because Vam Reb Chanina said, it says in the Pasuk in Beyikr Tezayin, Bepar. That is, it says in the Pasuk, Bezois Yavei Aaron El HaKodesh, that with this, Aaron HaKohen could come into the holiest on Yom Kippur. Bepar with a bull. Now the drasha that Reb Chanina says is v'loy b'damish al par. In other words, he can only come in if he's bringing a bull. But this Kohen Gadol, whoever he is not allowed to come in if he's only bringing the blood of a bull. Which that means, how does one come in with the blood of a bull and without a bull? That means if, let's say, the first Kohen Gadol slaughtered his bull and then he died. That's what Reb Chanina Darshning is saying, that the one who's taking over his place cannot take now that blood which came out from the slaughtering of the first Kohen Gadol and bring it inside the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Rather, he has to bring another bull and slaughter it, because you could only come in with a bull. If you're coming with the blood of a bull, because someone else slaughtered it before you, you can't come in with that. Now, the logic follows as follows. Since you cannot come in with just the blood of a bull, you actually have to come in with the bull itself, and you would have to bring a new bull. Now, what would come out, based on procedure, that after he would bring the new bull and slaughter that one, he would have to go ahead and do another scooping up of Keteris after it was slaughtered. And the reason for that is, because of Amr Reb Chanina also said that Keteris shachafna koid meshchitas ha-par, if the Keteris was scooped up before the slaughtering of the par, he hasn't done anything. And that's just because, as we had said, that there's a certain order and a structure to the Avodah Zarah Kippurim. And as we had mentioned already in this Masechta, that the way it works is that first he slaughters his bull, he receives the blood, gives it to someone else on the Reved Revi who's mixing it all this time. In the interim, he goes up, gets the shovel full of coals, comes down, scoops up the Keteris, and then he brings it in, and then he takes the blood and he throws it on the where it's supposed to be sprayed inside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, however, if he does it in the other order, he first scoops up the Keteris, and then he slaughters the par, and that Reb Chanina says that that's not going to be kosher. Now, therefore, the question is as follows, as Rashi explains. In the case of when the first Kohen Gadol scoops up the Keteris, and then he dies, there also, inevitably, it's not possible that he didn't already slaughter his par from beforehand. Because that's what we said the order is. You first have to slaughter your par, and then, only then could he have done, which we're saying he did, to scoop up the Keteris, and then he died. Now, therefore, what comes out now is the new Kohen Gadol, based on that other halacha of Reb Chanina, has to bring a new bull. Because if you're going to say that he's going to come in with the scoops of the first Kohen Gadol, it would come out that this scooping is going to be before the slaughtering of his second par. In other words, these two halachas go together to disprove the theory that the Gemara wanted to answer, and say Reb Chanina was saying, wow, look at the question Reb Shmuel Levi asked. I asked the same question. Now, what is that question? If he scoops up and he dies, can the other one just take that one and not re-scoop it again? And that, the Gemara says, it's not possible. Because in the process and procedure of the Avodas, first comes the slaughtering of his par, then comes the scooping up the Keteris. Now, it has to be in that order, as Reb Chanina said in one halacha, because if it's the other order, if it's out of order, it's going to be puzzle. Now, if the Kohen goes ahead and he scoops it up, and then if the Kohen Gadol does that, and then he passes away. So now you have the Kohen Gadol who passed away with his bull slaughtered already, with just the blood left over the second Kohen Gadol. Now, Reb Chanina said he cannot bring in Dom Mishal Par, he has to have a par. Therefore, he would have to go ahead and bring a new par. Now, if he's bringing his new par and then slaughtering it, now, if he's going to be able to be using the scoop from the first Kohen Gadol, what ultimately comes out is that the avoida of the scooping of the Keteris was done before the par, because the only par that's working now is the second par. Now, we said that's not valid. You can't have the scrubbing of the guitarist before the slaughtering of his par, and therefore it's not feasible to say either Reb Chanina was entertaining this Shiloh Reb Shimon Levi, that to have the validity of the Chafina for the second one, because if that would be, you'd be having it out of order, because he would have to be bringing a second par, because he can't come in with just Dal Mishal par, and therefore, of course, it's not going to be valid, and therefore, obviously, he could not have had the same question. So what is he saying? That, wow, look at his question, it's the same question as mine, whether he's older or he's older, either way, he cannot have had that question. So that the Gemara says, you're right, rather, hachi kama, this is what Chanina was saying. This is what he was telling his students. From the fact that Reb Shimon Levi even had this question, which again, according to me, Reb Chanina is saying, I couldn't have had this question, as we just illustrated. So, from the fact that he had this question, obviously he holds that when the Torah says bipar, obviously he holds like those who argue on me, and they hold that no, you don't have to actually bring another par. Because again, if you had to bring another par, then that would be out of order, because you'd be having the guitarist that was scooped up before the slaughtering of the par. So obviously he holds that you could come even just with the bull of the par. So if the first one slaughtered and died, you could bring. He holds like those who augur Reb Chanina, and hold you could bring just the blood of the par. And that is what Reb Chanina was saying. Ulamai desvirile. Now, based on what the opinions that he goes like, not like me, but rather those who argue me, so he's asking a good question. Because she'ilosik is she'ilos rishayim. That means his question is like the question of the earlier generations, which means to say my counterparts, those who argue with me regarding the power, and they hold even the damishal power. So you're right, that's a question that even they should have asked. So you see, the later generation, Rabbi Shimon Levi, is asking the same question as my chaverim who argue me, that they should have asked the same question, which is a very valid question. Now that they hold that you don't have to bring over a new power again, because they hold even b'damishal power. When it says b'zaisi of Aaron, that he has to come with a power, it doesn't mean just with a power, but even with the blood of the power. Now, does that include, regarding in this case, where he's chaf in the mace? Now it's a legitimate question, because you're having the correct order of having the prior slaughtering of the power. And now you have the question of the chafina that came afterwards. Will that be valid for the next Kohen Gadol or not? Does he have to do it over again? So that was the question. And again, that was the comment. And we resolved the comment by saying, what did Reb Chanina mean to say that, wow, look at it's the question of the early generations. But now the Gemara goes back to that question of Reb Shimon Levi. So my havala, well, ultimately, what is the halacha in such a case? If the first Kohen Gadol does the scoopful of his handfuls of the guitarist, and then he dies, what's the halacha? Could another Kohen Gadol come and take over his place? Which obviously seems to be that the question is going like those who argue Reb Chanina, because according to Reb Chanina, well, there is no entertaining that possibility. So then Rabbi Papa says, if there's a halacha, in other words, if we will resolve the question that the Gemara is going to bring shortly, which is a question that's posed, which there's a machlokes regarding, if that one, the Kohen Gadol first scoops up from the shovel full of Keteris that's brought out from the base of Tinas, who they make the Keteris, he scoops it up. Now, the question is, does he have to scoop it again a second time? In other words, when he scoops it up, he puts that into the ladle. Now he brings the ladle in one hand and the shovel in the other hand, and he brings it into the Kaddish or Kaddishim. Can he pour straight from the ladle into the pan of the coal, and then thereby making the smoke and making the fire? Or does he have to then go ahead and put it back into his hands and have this the handfuls of the kaddish again, and only from there to put onto the shovel of coals? Now, and that Rav Papa is saying that if we'll go like the opinion and we'll resolve to say that one has to go back and scoop it up again back into his hands, so then Rav Papa says, according to that sad in that question, there for sure the second Kohen Gadol would be able to take over and maintain the original Kohen Gadol's his handfuls of the guitars. And the reason is the Mekayim Chafina, because the second Kohen Gadol will be having his own Chafina the second time around, and therefore that will be maintaining the Chafina, and therefore, of course, there it's going to be valid. But however, if one does not say that you have to go ahead and re-scoop it again by taking from that ladle once you were able to transport in and put it back into your hands and then only then bring it onto the guitarist, if you don't say that you have to do that, rather you can take straight from the ladle onto the coals, then tiboylech, and that's a legitimate question. Do we say that the second Kohen Gadol could do something that he didn't even have a part of it, because he's not even doing his own chafina, he's just taking the first Kohen Gadol's chafina and pouring it on? Will that be valid for the halacha of Malay Chafnaf? That's where Rav Papa said will be the resolution of the question, depending which opinion you hold in Chayfim or Chayzav Chayfim. However, Amalei Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Shula, Papa, he says, Adrabba, to the contrary, Yes, it's dependent on this question of chayifin v'chayza b'chayifin, but the exact opposite logical conclusion that you came out to, because to the contrary, if you hold that you have to scoop it up first outside from the shovel of the kataras, and then once you bring it in through the ladle, you have to put it back into your handfuls, then lo yikon zacha b'chayifin aseh. Actually, there, then the second kohen gadol cannot go ahead and take over the first kohen gadol's handfuls, because there would be impossible that there shouldn't be a little bit less or a little bit too much, because no two people's hands, in this case these two kohen gadols, are exactly the same. And therefore, there's not going to be exactly malei chafnim, it's going to be either a little bit too much or a little bit too little. So there, for sure, it wouldn't be valid. But the whole question would be only if you do not have to re-scoop it. You don't have to re-scoop it, so then you have malei chafnim over here, and you pour it straight on, and therefore there's not going to be anything lacking or too much, because you don't have to actually put it into your hands anymore. And therefore, there would be the question. Therefore, he argues on the consequences of what opinion it's like. But either way, these two opinions say it would be dependent on this question, which the Gemara brings that this is a question that was posed because they had asked this question. We said there has to be a chafina. You have to take the handfuls of kateris, scoop it up. Now, we said the only way to transport it is to put it into a ladle, because the other hand has to have the shovel of coals. So you have this other hand that's holding the ladle. Now the question is, once you come into the kodesh kodeshim, you put down the pan, that you put down the shovel that has the coals, now does he have to then take the ladle and put it back into his handfuls to have malei chafnim and then put on the gechalim? Or not, he could take straight from that ladle and pour it onto the gechalim. That was the question. So, and that's what the Gemara said, that this question that was posed before was regarding chaf and the mace would also be dependent with opposite conclusions in that question. So the Tashma, the Gemara says, regarding this last question of Chayfin, Chayzav, Chayfin, what is the halacha over there? So the Gemara says, come in here, a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, regarding when he does this chafina, it says, Ka chayisim idasa, like this was the measurement, that he would take malei chafnav. So what does that enigmatic statement mean? It already said that he would take his handfuls of, he would do the chafina, the handfuls from the guitarist, from the shovel of the guitarist. So what does it say that this is his measurement? So the Gemara says, my love isn't coming to say that kashem should be dasa mi bachos. What does it mean that this is its measurement? It's trying to say that, just as like this is the measurement, this is what you have to do, this is the method that you do outside when you first take it initially, kach mi dasa mi b'fnim, it means to say that this is, kach chayis mi dasa, that was what the measurement was used. This was the same method that was used inside the kach kachem when you would finally pour it onto the gechalim, onto the coals, would also be to get it back into malei chafnav. So therefore you see clearly that chayfin v'chayis v'chayfin, that thing says light, not a raif ma mishnah. Because as we had said in the previous daf, it's inconclusive what does this enigmatic statement mean. Dilma shim ratzalasis midoisa, maybe it means something else. Maybe it means to say that this was its measurement, which meant to say that if you wanted to make a measuring cup that measured the same, let's say the kohen would go ahead and try a few times, do this handfuls of kateris, and he saw it always came out to this amount. So every year Yom Kippur, he doesn't have to go ahead and do it with his handfuls again. He can just take this measuring cup and fill it up. This is exactly how much my handfuls are. And that's kachos midasa. That was the measurement to say that you could use a measuring cup. But it's not conclusively that either, because you could say it means this other statement that the Gemara is saying, that to go ahead and do it again. But either way, it won't be arrived from the Mishnah. Inami, another interpretation, what does the enigmatic statement mean in the Mishnah, that kachos midasa, that was his measurement. Not to say that you do the same thing again inside. Rather, you could actually pour straight from the ladle onto the coals. It just means shalayechaser v'shalayeser, that you shouldn't have too little or too much. I mean, to say when it says this is its measurement, to say exactly like I just told you. It has to be mitzumtzum, that it has to be exactly the amount of malechafnav, but not to say that you go ahead and you do the same thing again inside. Maybe you don't have to be chayzer v'chayfen. So it's not a raya from our Mishnah. So Gemara says, Toshma, come in here, conclusive raya from the following brayso. We continue on to Amud Beis. But the brayso says, how does the Kohen Gadol do it when he does his second chafina? That's why it's conclusive from this braisa that you see that he does do a second chafina when he's inside the Kodesh Kodeshim. How does he get the keteris that's inside the ladle into his two hands? He has his two hands that has to hold exactly full up to the top, has to be full, even rounded up a little on the top, has to be full with the keteris. Now he's holding in one hand the keteris. Now how does he get that to manipulate it into his hands and holding all that keteris at the same time? So that therefore again that has conclusively proven that he does chayzer b'chayfin. However, how does one do that? So the Braisa says, oiches es habazach b'rashi etzbaisa. What he does is that he holds the ladle with his fingertips. And that is, we're talking about that after he already put the shovel full of coals on the ground. So now he's only holding the ladle of the keteres. Now he has the handle of the ladle facing towards him between his arms. So now he's holding it now with his fingertips. Yeshayim, some say he holds it b'shina with his teeth, because so that makes his hands available. Umala begoidlin. Now he elevates it with his thumbs. That means he pushes his two thumbs and he elevates the handle with his thumb towards his body, slowly, a little bit at a time. Ad shemagas, until the top of the handle reaches lebein atzili yadav, between his elbows, and you have the top of the ladle that reaches to the height of the palm of his hand. And then he goes back and he manipulates it from the side, that it should go ahead and come into the palm of his hands. Now, once he has it he has the handfuls of the keteres inside his hand, then the Bresa concludes and says, "Vitzayver." Then he piles on the keteres onto the coals, kedishah hashana shayulava, that the smoke from the keteres that's now burning on the coals should come very slowly, because when you put so much at a time, it's hard for it to burn and create the smoke. So he purposely puts it in one big pile so that the smoke should take a while in coming. V'yeshem, some say actually mefazra, he spreads it out all over the coals. To the contrary, kedisha hei hashana memaheres lavei, so that the smoke should come very quick because it burns it up very quickly. So that's the machleik is about how he piles it up. And the Braisa concludes, v'zui avoy de kashrus hamikdash. This is the difficult avoy in the Beis Hamikdash, to be able to get and manipulate the ladle into his hand and still having his whole two hands available to receive the keteres. That's a very challenging avoy. So the Gemara asks on that, Zuhi Besulai, this is the difficult avoy in the Beis Hamikdash, as if there's no other ones. Bavaika Malika, there's the challenging one of Malika, which says elsewhere that this was also a challenging avoy to be able to, from behind the bird, take the fingernail of his thumb and sever the two simanim and in the form of shchita of the bird, avoka kamitza. There was also the challenge of the kamitza, which we said that, especially the baked one, the machvas, marcheshes, to be able to get just within his three fingers over the palm of his hand and to be able to get rid of the excess on the top and the bottom and not take away from what's inside. That was also challenging. So the Gemara says, Ella, rather what we meant was, Zuhi avoy de kasha, me avoy de kasha migdash. This is one of the very challenging avoydas in the Beis Hamikdash, but yes, there are other ones like Malika and Kibitza. However, the Gemara has concluded and shown that one is chayfen, b'chayza b'chayfen. He not only scoops it up the first time, but after that the ladle is brought in, he scoops it back into his hand, and that was a very challenging part of that process. And therefore, the conclusion of the other shayla of chafen umeis would also be dependent, obviously based on that machlekes, about which way it would be, if, as we had the machlekes, regarding which one is the more obvious one, regarding if he could take over for the first kayin or not. Now, the Gemara has the following question, similar to the question that we just spoke about. Iboilu had the following question. Shachar umeis. Let's say the kayin slaughters the animal, and then he dies. What is the halacha? And we had already mentioned this halacha on Amid Alf. What's the halacha if someone else could come in with the blood? So we said this was the question of par, and if it would include damish on par or not. So the par was slaughtered, his bull, then he dies. So on that, the Gemara says, do we say that when the pasuk says, that with this Aaron could come into the holy area on Yom Kippur, the par with a bull, that means and that means even with the blood of a par, even though when he started being the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur, he started off with blood, not with the bull itself, because that was already brought by the first Kohen Gadol, but that would be valid. Maybe we understand the word bull to say, no, it has to be a live bull, that then you slaughtered and then you brought in the blood. But if you start off with the blood of the bull, because you only took over the first one, then that would not be valid, and you would have to go ahead and slaughter your own par. So now we have a machlekes. We have Reb Chanina Omer, like we had mentioned him on Amud Aleph. He says, bepar v'loy b'damish al par. He says that it has to be the bull and not the blood of the bull, and therefore that's how we had that whole logic to show Reb Chanina cannot be saying like Reb Shub ben Levi, because you would have to go ahead and bring a new par. V'shlakush ha-mishlakush says, bepar v'filo b'damish al par. No, he's like from those who argue on Reb Chanina, who he could have the same question like Reb Shub ben Levi, that no, when it says a bull, it means even with the blood of a bull. Again, there was argued about Reb Ami Amir. Reb Ami says, "Bepar v'loy b'damish al par." He holds it has to be a bull and not the blood of a bull. Reb Yitzchok Amir. Reb Yitzchok says, "Bepar v'fil b'damish al par." No, it could be the bull and even the blood of a bull. Even if you're starting off with that, if he was shachar ames, you can go ahead and take that blood. You don't have to slaughter over a new par. Now, Eitzvi Reb Ami Reb Yitzchok Nafcha. Reb Ami asked, he wanted to prove that obviously, like his opinion, that par means the bull, and not, you can't start over damishal par. How so? From a Mishnah Masechta Pesachim, the Mishnah there says that nimnin, people could be counted amongst, the way the Karban Pesach worked is that you had to be a member of the Karban Pesach from beforehand. So you have to be counted on that. So the halacha is that someone who wants to be counted on Karban Pesach, so then he can be counted on, and similarly in the reverse, you could also withdraw from that Karban Pesach if someone wants to withdraw, until the Karban Pesach is slaughtered. Once that's slaughtered, you can't join anymore, and you also can't remove yourself from the group. That's the halacha that's mentioned in the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim. Now, Rabbi proves that he says, V'im Isa, if it would be like you, those who argue, Rabbi Yitzchok Nafka, and you say that even after slaughtering, which means to say when there's only the blood, you still call it, quote, al-haseh, it's still called a seh, just like you're calling bar, a par, a bull, even with its blood, it's called b'zoysi of iron, that he could come up with a par, meaning the blood of a par, so too you would consider that when the Pasuk says that you could join or remove when it's al-haseh on the sheep, so then atche yizrik mi boyleh. And then the Mishnah there should have said that he's allowed to join or remove until the blood is thrown. Because once the blood is thrown, now even the blood's not around. So you're not going to have seh at all. But at least up until it's thrown, even after it's slaughtered, that you should still be able to join or withdraw. Obviously, it's like me. And you see that once it's slaughtered, when you don't have any more of the seh, it's only now dam of seh. That's not the same as seh. And therefore, just like par, it says it has to be the par, not the blood of the par. Because if it was like you, you'd be able to join or withdraw up until the zrika of the blood. Well, then even the blood disappears. So then Rabbi Yitzchok Nafka answers no. Shani Hasam, there by halachas, the Karban Pesach, that's a different criteria. Because the chsiv, it says in the pasuk, it says, v'im yimet habayis, that if someone will want to remove himself from this household of the Karban Pesach, that means to say if they want to withdraw themselves from it, it says in the pasuk, that v'im yimet habayis, it says, miyois miseh, from taking part in this seh. Now, the translation of miyois, it also could mean haviyasai, its existence. In other words, he could only withdraw himself when there's still the existence of the seh, which means to say, michiyusa de seh, when the seh, when the lamb is still alive, and not when it's slaughtered. So therefore, you can't prove from there that you see that after it's already slaughtered, oh, we don't consider it anymore seh. No, generally we would consider par, even damishal par. And yes, we would say seh would be even damishal seh. But there's a special limit over there that teaches it cannot be done to join or withdraw after it's slaughtered, because then it won't be miyos miseh, it won't be considered mechiyusid seh, it would already be dead, and that's why that's a different criteria. Now the Gemara asks another question on those who say that par means even damishal par, and therefore if shachar or mes, the next one could bring just that blood. Masa Mazutra. Mazutra asks from the Mishnah Masechtas Bechairos. The Mishnah there says that ein paidin, one cannot redeem a petach hamar. A petach hamar is a donkey, the firstborn of the mother, where there's a halacha that one has to redeem that with a seh. So that the Mishnah says you cannot redeem it loy bi egel, not with a calf, v'loy b'chai, not with a wild animal, because the Torah says that if the only way to redeem it is with a seh, from the sheep category, which excludes a calf, which is bakar, and a wild animal, which is not even a behemoth. Similarly, and moreover, v'loy b'shchuta, you cannot redeem the firstborn donkey with a slaughtered animal. V'loy b'treifa, not with one that has a mortal defect. V'loy b'klayim, and with a fatal defect. V'loy b'klayim, and not with a mixed animal, which means to say that if, let's say, it's from the father is a male goat and the mother is a female sheep, although that both sides of the family, so to speak, are from the seh family, however, since they're different ones, one's from the goat side and one's from the sheep side, so therefore that would not be considered seh, and therefore that would also be excluded. V'loy b'kai, and similarly, one cannot bring this animal called a kai, which is from the father that's a male goat and the mother is a tzviya. Ela b'seh. The only way you can redeem a petach hamar, if you don't, you have to chop off the head of the donkey, but the only way you can redeem it to then hold on to your donkey is by bringing the seh to the kain, is bringing a sheep. Now, however, one thing we see is that it said v'loy b'shchuta, you cannot redeem the petach hamar with a slaughtered animal. Now, so therefore you see that a slaughtered animal, which means that when the blood is still around, but the animal is not, that we don't call it anymore seh. If we considered par, same thing as damishal par, then when it says you have to redeem it with a seh, that shouldn't call it even damishal seh. So why, according to your opinion, that your whole damai is included in that par and seh, so why can't you redeem the petach hamar with a slaughtered seh? Because the dam is still around, and you'll have damishal seh. So that the Gemara answer is similar like an answer before. Shani Hasim, you're right. Generally, we consider the blood of something as if that thing is still extant. However, there it's different. The yell of Seh, Seh, Mi, Pesach, because we learn out, it says Seh regarding Petach Amar, and it says Seh regarding the Karm Pesach. Just a Karm Pesach, you cannot bring a slaughtered one to then bring it as a Karm Pesach. It has to be still alive. So the Petach Amar has to be an alive one. But you're right. Generally, we'll say Seh, and even Damishal Seh. But here is a different halacha, different criteria that invalidates it. The Gemara asks, if that's the source why we're invalidating a shchuta because we compare it to Karm Pesach, but then ima lahalan, so then just like by Karm Pesach, it has to be a zach, it has to be male, it has to be tam, it has to be unblemished, it has to be a ben shana, it has to be within the first year, then afkan zachar tam a ben shana, so then why wouldn't we say, and we don't say that the same halacha has applied to Petach Amar, that the sheep that's being brought has to be male, unblemished, and within a year old, if you're comparing it to Karm Pesach from the term of seseh. So the Gemara answers, no. Tamalayma, that's what the Pasuk teaches you. Tifte Reba. It says tifte more than once to say that it should be redeemed, to say many redemptions are included, which means to say that even if it's not a male and even if it's not within the first year, still one could bring any type of the seh to redeem the Petach Amar. But then the Gemara asks, then the reverse. E tifte Reba, but then if tifte redemptions are including other types of redemptions, a full of kulinami, then it should even include all those other things which we're excluding, because we do compare it to Karm Pesach, for example, the Shchuta. Why? We say we're including all types of redemptions, no matter what it is, then it should even include even a slaughtered animal, even though that's not the case for Karm Pesach. The Gemara answers no, because in Cain, if that would be the case, then Seh, my Hanilei, what would the Seh, which we're comparing to Karm Pesach, come to teach us? Obviously, that's somewhere in the middle. Tifta Tefta is including, which includes all those that it doesn't have to be exactly like Karm Pesach, doesn't have to be within the year, or male, or tam. However, the comparison of Seh to Seh to Karm Pesach is excluding other things, for example, the category of Shchuta. And again, therefore, the Gemara has yet to refute this opinion that par would mean, well, lo b'damishal par, because although we had these other questions that it seemed like we're not including the blood, those are for different reasons, different criteria, where there it's either because seh from Karm Pesach, or because in that arena of halacha, we have a separate miyais miseh to exclude that it can't be after the shechita. However, the Gemara has not refuted either one of the opinions regarding the halacha of shachar emes, if one could go ahead and use the first ones, because would that be included in bipar? When you have to come in bepar, does that mean just the animal par and not bedamishal par? Or does bepar even include bedamishal par?